Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Brother Ken's testimony this morning. We open this precious book again. We're just asking you, Lord, to feed our hearts and soul. Dear God, this special message today, and I pray already we felt your presence. Lord, we don't have the word of God. We don't need to be here today. If I don't hold the word of God in my hands right now here in this place, then we don't have the word of God, and therefore we don't know who you really are. But I'm glad I stand here before these people and say God has preserved his word for our day. We can know exactly what his voice says by reading it. And therefore, when we really understand it, it brings joy to our soul and our heart in a way this world knows nothing about it. Amazes me how people can go to games and things of this world and just go completely wild sometimes. And we who have been saved on the road to heaven, who deserve hell, dear Father, we can't even say a holy grunt, let alone show our gladness. I pray that you bring something over on us this morning as we learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Then I'm going to 1 Peter, and then I'm going to give you the go into the message. But what I want you to do is listen to me this morning. I want you to listen very carefully to me today. We're thankful that you're here, and we thank God for the other workers working in this place all over these grounds and reaching people. What a great day we had yesterday here as we had family day. But I want you to listen very carefully to me. Now, I'm not attacking anyone today. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to show I know everything, because God knows I don't know that. But I'm going to state some facts about a matter of record that some believe versus what we say we believe. Everything that I'm going to say will be as factual as I, as a farm boy from Johnson County, North Carolina, studying through the last 48 years, and have some knowledge because of degrees that God has helped me get. And I think that I may not know everything I need to know. I know enough about what I'm speaking about this morning to know that it's something that God has shown me. And I believe with all my heart, he has blessed what's to be said today for us to understand why we stand upon the Word of God. If the Lord leads, I have been studying for weeks and weeks and weeks now a series of messages about his precious word. We may put these together in a group of messages, four or five messages, in the next few Sundays if the Lord continues. Not finish everything as yet, but I have got them together in a few messages. And I believe that the people about whom I'm going to speak will agree with me to some degree what I'm saying. Maybe not 100%. I believe you agree mostly 100%. But I believe others who will hear this later and those who are in our community and in our part of the world might be some things. I believe they will agree with me to some degree of what I'm fixing to tell you this morning. I want to ask this question. Where does our authority lie? Where does your authority lie? Where does my authority lie when it comes to the things of God? Now, if a person don't believe in God, he has no authority except what this world tells him. But you and I who believe that God exists, that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he's our authority. But on this land we're living today, and on this planet Earth we're living, we're in an educated era where people will tell you that this God we're talking about can be approached so many ways. No one has a monopoly on him. Therefore, their way is as good as ours to approach him. But I say to you, we don't have a monopoly on God, but God has a monopoly on what he wants us to know about himself. He tells us what he wants us to know about himself, and we either accept it or don't accept it. He'll not force it, and he'll send you to hell if you don't accept it, and he'll take you to heaven if you do. That's just facts. God is a God that works by what he says, and he keeps his word. Here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus said, when he was here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, in the plural, shall not pass away. Now, if I understand that, and Jesus, the authority speaking here, says what you see is going to pass away, but my words shall not pass away. If you look at me in 1 Peter, just a quick reference there for just a minute, in chapter 1 in verse 25, Peter is writing now, probably about, 27 years later, when Jesus spoke what he spoke, and he says in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, that's just another way of saying what Jesus said. His word will abide forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this, Peter says, is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The very word of the Lord that endureth forever is by the gospel of his word is preached unto you. If you go over and look in Proverbs 1:19, you can do a little bit later, in verse 105, the Bible teaches us that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In Proverbs chapter 105, it says that. 8:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, God's word will stand all the time, from everlasting to everlasting, because he who is God does not have to change his word. And by the way, God who spoke his word, God who inspired his word to be written down, also is a God who can preserve his words for you and I today to know that when we read the word of God, we're reading what God has given us in our age. Amen. Now I want to tell you does our authority lie? I read where back a few years ago, a fellow by the name of Christian Hester was governor of Massachusetts. And he'd been on a campaign train for a few days. And one day he got up early and he worked that day and he got back into his place where he was at or lived. And he heard the church was having a cookout for whatever reason, having a barbecue. And so he went to that to just to relax a little bit. And he walked in line and there was a woman in the line passing out the chicken. And he was very hungry and he said that he felt like maybe just that day that she might give him extra piece. And he said, lady, I've had a kind of a hard day today. And I just wonder, would you give me another piece of chicken? And she said, no, sir. He said, I want to ask you a question. Do you know who I am? I want you to know I am the governor of Massachusetts. And she said, sir, do you know who I am? He said, no. She said, I'm the woman who passes out the chicken at this barbecue. Now, where does our authority lie? Where does it lie? With a battle going raging today as to what is God's word, I think that all pastors should alert their people as much as possible what they know and should take some time to study about this book. I've been going to Baptist churches for over 60 years. Up to the 70s, every preacher that I heard preach in the latter part of the 70s, and by the way, I don't ever remember hearing but one or two, and that was accident at the time. But I'm saying to you, up to the 70s, every preacher that I ever heard preached from the King James Bible. They didn't have any other in those days. No one even thought about another Bible in those particular days. As a matter of fact, they would say when they walked to the pulpit or where they were on the radio or where they were on television, they would say, open your Bible and let's hear from God's Word. That's what you'd hear. No matter where they were at, no matter where they were preaching at. These pastors literally cared nothing about the higher education. They didn't care nothing what the ones who were so high that they began to write God out. They stuck at that time because that was what they were taught. That's what they believed. That's who they studied, what they studied from. And therefore, when they got up to preach, they preached what they thought was God's amazing word. Now, it amazes me just how well this nation did when we did not know how ignorant we really were. It amazes me through the years how God brought this nation. And by the way, it was stronger spiritual then than it is today. We may have more economics and we may be better off otherwise, have the best cars and have the best homes and have the best finances and the best insurance and all of that. But we're no more spiritual than they were years ago when the people didn't know how ignorant they were when they talked about the Bible. You know why? Because God's word was feeding people on the basis of their lives rather than what they had around them. And so I say the question is at hand, and that question is this. Where is the final authority for Christianity? I'm not talking about the Muslims. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not talking about other people who have religious organizations and their religious books. I'm talking about Christianity. That's who you and I are. If you're born again into the family of God, you are a Christian. And as a Christian, then you're part of what we call Christianity. So my question this morning is this, where is the final authority for you and I who are Christians in Christianity? Now I'm not talking about the Mormons and others. I'm talking about Christianity. There are four basic final authorities about God and about His authority for Christian living and for Christian practices. Now, when you and I look at these, I'm not talking about anything else now. I'm talking about where we are, who we claim that we are, who claim to be Christians in these eras. Would you follow me quickly and listen? Number one, some view the church as the final authority. In other words, it's the church, they say. We know this mainly started with the universal church, which we know as the Roman Catholic Church. This is where the Catholic Church sounds its alarm. Any honest Catholic priest will tell you that the Catholic position on the final authority is that the church has the final authority. Now, that sounds good to you and I because we believe our church is based doctrinally right. But this church, per se, as itself, is not the final authority. There's a document written called the Holy Word of God. That becomes the final authority. But here, as we look at this, if we look at the view of Christianity, there's four views that are placed there for us to look at this morning. The Pope speaks as the Vicar of Christ, as the final authority. Anything in the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm not being unkind, I'm just trying to state some facts that I've learned through the years in studying different religious organizations. If I understand, the Pope speaks as the Vicar of Christ, as the final authority in any questionable doctrine that has to do within that organization. Anything that goes from the grassroots up, when it gets to the Pope, he is the final authority, which in turn settles the questionable things about their doctrine. When the Pope speaks, they literally think it is God speaking. For he is the Vicar of Christ. In the absence of Christ, he's the highest one at that particular time. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what I believe is the truth, and any honest priest would tell you the same thing in that organization. Our Catholic friends believe that the church is the final authority. Now, I'm not a Catholic. Our sign outside reads Fellowship Baptist Church. But I'll tell you this, even when a Baptist church becomes the authority to override God's word, then they're out of place. They're out of place. I'm not being unkind. These are facts. So the first thing is that some believe they have the view that the church itself is the final authority. Then the second view I want you to think with me just a moment is the view that where they say experience as the final authority. Some view their experience as being the final authority. In other words, they say, I know what I have experienced. Don't tell me. It happened to me, so therefore it must be true. I was there and you were not. I know what I saw. I know what I saw. I saw Jesus. I had a vision. God took me to heaven. God showed me hell. God showed me. God came one night and transported me. Don't tell me I had an experience, and the experience becomes the final authority. You begin to say something about that, and they say, wait a minute. This is the charismatic position. Ask them. They will tell you their experience is what really gives them assurance as they go through life. They talk about the Word of God. They will say, I have a message from God that's beyond the Bible. God took me. It always amazes me that when He, as I said last Wednesday night, when God takes a person somewhere or another and brings them back, they're always telling us what God's already said in His Word. God took me to heaven. I had a fella showed up, and I told him Wednesday night, a fella that's a few months ago was telling, God took me to heaven on one of these big television broadcasts. God took me to heaven, and he showed me the street of gold. And you know, I didn't see no depths. I didn't see any graveyards there. Didn't see any hospitals there. And God told me to go back and tell those people on earth what it is that is here and that they need to get right with God. They need to trust Him. He went on through this thing that God told him to tell them. Hey, He didn't have to take you to heaven to tell you that. He tells you that in His Word. You mean to tell me I can't do anything for God until He comes and gives me the experience? I had the greatest spirits in this world, ladies and gentlemen, when I got born into the family of God. I'm saying to you some view that you don't have this experience. That's my final authority, they say. The truth is that all that God has ever said to man is right here in this Bible. These people believe that their final authority comes from experience. My question is this. If you have an experience and that's your final authority, then what's going to happen when you have another experience that actually contradicts the experience you just had? Well, my final authority changed. It won't final authority then. The final authority, you don't have to change it. Amen? You don't have to change it. When it's final, it's final. Even though Johnson County farm boy knows that. Amen? What I'm saying something that will touch your heart if you'll let it, and God will speak a sweet peace to you about what He's doing more so than ever before in man's life. I say to you, the truth is that all that God has ever said is right here in the Bible. This is God's complete revelation to man. Did you hear what I said? This is God's complete revelation to man. There has to be some place where we can say this is our final authority. Now, it could either the Catholic, our Catholic friends that say that the church is the final authority, or our charismatic friends that go beyond the Bible and say human experience is the final authority. That's two that the world is using today in our midst. The third view I want you to look at is that some view that human reason is the final authority. And well, this is going so more in our day than ever because of our approach to higher education. Here every man is searching for truth, they say. Therefore, every man gets a portion of truth. You get a portion, you get a portion, you get a portion, you get a portion, I get a portion. And now we have all a portion of truth. So by having portions of truth, nobody is wrong and nobody is right. What may be right for you may be wrong for me. What may be wrong for you may be right for me. After all, we're all searching for truth. You ever heard that? We're all searching for truth. It's said a lot of times on the media broadcast today. We're just all searching for truth. We're all searching. Oh, is that right? Yeah, that's the reason why. You see, to me, one will say, it doesn't seem to me that God would make a hell because in searching truth, I see He's a God of mercy and grace and a loving and a kind and a gracious God. So to me, truth is that God doesn't have to make a hell for individuals. I don't think God would make a hell. So because I don't think God will make a hell, there is no hell. We're all searching for truth. But I come along and say, hey, wait a minute. God says there is a hell. And He said, well, wait, that's your opinion, not mine. After all, we're all searching for truth. Come on now. I'll hit that electric button in a few minutes. You'll bounce off that seat. We're all searching for truth. That sounds so great in our educated era. Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, you see, to me, another says, it seems to me that God doesn't need, that a man doesn't need to be born again because God is just, that's just from your angle. God is a loving God, and there's people don't know what being born again means, but God is so kind and gracious and so loving that then if I don't believe you have to be born again like you do, then there is no such a thing as being born again. Isn't it amazing, though, that God Emmanuel in the flesh said ye must be born again in John chapter 3. I mean, well, it seems to me then that sin is in the eye of the beholder. What you say is sin. I don't believe sin. I've been living a certain way for a period of time and God's never judged me. So you prove it wrong in my own life. God don't pay on Friday. I mean, simply the fact is, the reason of man. So therefore, if it's in the eye of the beholder, so I say there is no such thing as sin. It's just people can't learn, just people that learn in those bad places in life. This is what they say. You say there is, I say, after all, we're just searching for truth. Most Protestants, most humanists, most liberal believers believe that the final authority is the human mind or human reasoning. What I cannot conceive, I'm not going to believe. And you're not going to make me believe it. Nobody's trying to make anybody believe anything. I'll tell you this, God can't make you believe it. By the way, He could, but He won't. He gave us a will. What I cannot understand and believe in, I won't accept. What I cannot conceive, I'm not going to believe. What I cannot understand and believe, I'm just not going to accept. So what we do, we trim the Bible down to fit what I can believe rather than believing what God says. One fellow said to me, I read this in an article, a guy was talking. And in this article, another guy was talking to him. And this fellow said, it seems to me, one man said, I love sin. And God loves to forgive sinners. Isn't that a wonderful world to be in? As if because He loves sin and God loves to forgive sinners, the more he sins, the more he shows God by forgiveness. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that's Bible truth. If the blood of Christ has not paid for your sins, God won't forgive you for them. The blood of Christ is what takes away our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't care what people believe. That's the truth, even though it's in a song. It's in a song. Some view the human reason as the final authority. So they trim the Bible down. They rewrite it to fit different places and take many things out. I am amazed at some of the things I'll be showing you in the next few weeks that amaze me that they take out of the Bible after certain things are said and then remove on to something else that leave out a crucial portion of Scripture for certain doctors and so forth. What is the final authority? I believe then there is a God, yes. But wait a minute, I don't believe there's a God of wrath because I'm proved to you that God is a God of love and God of justice and God of grace and so forth, someone will say. Therefore, you believe He is? Well, that's your opinion. My opinion. And why, after all, we're all searching for truth. It's human reasoning. It's a human mind. And they reason God out. So what is the final authority? If it's not the church, as the Catholics would say, if it's not human experience, as the charismatics would say, if it's not human reason, as the liberal friends would say, where is our authority? I'm glad to say there are some who believe and view our authority in what is known as the Holy Bible written by the Holy Spirit of God. And you have that in your hands, and I have mine. Most churches in America will have a preacher stand up to preach today. And when he preaches, he will preach what he thinks. Listen to me. It'll be in one of these four categories. When he stands up and preach, he will preach what he feels is the final authority for his church. It'll be according to the church itself that what it said. Or it'll be according to human experience of what someone has felt. Or it'll be according to human reasoning that they've looked at the Scriptures and came out to give you something that would tickle your ears in turn and make you think that you're better because things are going well. That, or it'll be referring to what the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we have that given to us in the Holy Canon, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And how God put that together is another thing. We're not talking about how He put it together today. We're talking about what we've got, what we have in our hands. And so I say to you that the final authority is to us, it is, when they preach, it's what they believe, and it's what they believe is what they're teaching, and when people walk out, they're believing what they taught about where the final authority was at that particular time. But on the other hand, there are those who are Bible-believing, God-fearing, I say, independent, fundamental, premillennial, believing Baptists that have a Holy Bible. There's a time that I could say just Baptists. But I'll be honest with you. We have some things going on in Baptist churches today that I don't believe God's pleased with. Amen. Now, he may not be pleased with everything going on here if our hearts are not right. And I'm sure there's no perfect church anywhere. I talked to a brother about this past week. Talking about coming to our church and so forth and things that's going on and talking about a perfect church. There's no such a thing as a perfect church body. There's a perfect creation in you if you're saved. And there's a growing to a thing. But this body, I don't care where you go. If you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it. Because once you want to join it, you yourself will cause it to be unperfect. What I'm saying, I'm honest. I'm being honest with you this morning as a pastor. I say to you again, there's a time that I could just say Baptist. But you can't say that anymore. For instance, I cannot say that I'm going to speak to you right now in this hour. And God will speak through me verbatim. Does that shock you? Preacher, what do you mean? I mean simply this. God will speak through His Word. God will honor His Word. But when it comes to do what I'm doing now, God all of a sudden hadn't shocked me into a position and every word I say is God speaking to you through this mouth. But God will honor every word I say. That's His Word. God will do to it and say, He says, it will not return unto me void. And when I speak in His Word, about His Word, through His Word, God will honor if you listen to His Word. That's the reason I tell you, don't just look at gestures. A guy can get up here and stand straight and teach the Word of God, and the power of God can be just as great as someone who runs all over the building. Because it's not the gestures, it's the Word. And yet on the other hand, we want to be joyful over what we hear when we hear the Word. It will cause you to do things you didn't think you could do. Or maybe would do. It's the Word of God that does that. Some people said, I like this or that. I love to hear the Word. Now if God can use a character, and all of a sudden he just, gestures and fine. But I love to hear the Word taught. I love to hear the Word preached. I love to hear the Word proclaimed. I love to hear those things because we need it all. God gave this as gifts to the church so that we could hear what God has to say. And I think about that as I look at God will speak through His Word. It will not return unto Him void, He said in Isaiah 55:11. I, as well as you, can ask God to lead me. I can ask God to influence me. I can ask God to help as I surrender to Him, that I would preach the Word that would honor Him. But it is His Word, not just words in general, but His words that He said, will not return unto me void. I will accomplish it where I sent it. And I have confidence of that. I got a wonderful letter from a person out of state this week, heard about me. And they wrote me and said to me, Dr. Ennis, I had to write you because they had gone through a similar situation. And said, I know you're going through some dry times. No one knows unless they've been in this situation. I know you're going through some hard times maybe right now as far as thinking. But let me tell you, God has not brought you this far right now to let you go home right now. He said, there's not many, many left like you. You say you're tooting your horn. I'm reading a letter. In fact, I'm going to read it again when I get through the day. Amen. After preaching, you're going to go back to my office and read that letter again. Amen. But what I'm saying to you folks, I'm honest with you. There's an honest pastor. When God led me to Clayton, He didn't just lead me here to a place. He led me where He was at and what He wanted me to do. And I didn't know it all then. Thank God. I see you a lot now that I didn't see then. And I believe it all my heart what I'm telling you is truth this morning. All I can do is influence you. I cannot make you do anything. I can only give you what I believe God has given in my heart and pray that the words that He has spoken that you read, you have a Bible just like I do. I only have one vote. I don't have the power of influence. I thank God for people like you who support me because we have a Bible. You can go home and you can study and look at and read and God will speak to you through His Word when I encourage you to do that when you're alone with Him. You don't just have to hear someone talking. When you go home and read His Word, He's speaking to you and He's speaking to me. I believe that it was a good day when I decided to make God's Word my final authority. I believe it was a good day when I wanted to make it my final authority. I believe it was a good day when I drove outside the church in the driveway that day, and I stopped and I said, "Oh God," I remember like yesterday, about 48 years ago, "Oh God, I don't care who's right. It doesn't matter to me who's right, but I want to know what's right." And that's my desire 48 years later. And I know less now than I've ever known, because I see how great this book is as the Word of God. I do care who is right. I don't care who's right. In other words, I just want to know what's right. When I wanted to find out what kind of church that the New Testament church was biblically, I believe that was a good day when God put that desire in my heart. And I started in the book of Acts asking to know what is about a church. What is it? Because every church is an individual church that God births. It ain't a string of churches. It's an individual church. God wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to the church at Corinth. He wrote to the different churches, and then He wrote to individuals. Do you know why we go house to house? Do you know why we knock on doors? That is what they did in the Bible. You go to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and it said they were scattered abroad, preaching God's word everywhere. You go to Acts chapter 8, verse 4, and you find it says, "Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." You know why these people work so hard, who work on the buses to get little children to church, or probably never would go to church if they didn't have the buses? Because it's something that God has showed us how to reach beyond just where we're at in our town. And tell boys and girls that Jesus loved them, even though they may feel like nobody loved them. What I'm saying to you, this is not just a show. We're not here just trying to make people think that we're so holy than anybody else. We've just said, "God, we don't have no one but you. And we want to understand what you want." And God, the book of Acts gets us started, because there is a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant in the church. Amen. Some people think, "Well, just building a church like everybody else, just want to build a church." Folks, that's not the reason of this church. I'm talking about, where does our authority lie? That's what the Bible did. The Bible is our charter to exist. The Bible is our charter to practice and doctrine that we believe and practice. If the Bible is not our charter, please hear me. If this book is not our charter, then we have no Bible church. We may have a church. There's thousands of them. But do we have a Bible-believing church? Where does our authority lie? Do we believe it because the church is authority? Do we believe it because the experience is authority? Do we believe it because the mind, the human reason is authority? Or do we believe it because we have searched God's holy word and believe the Bible is the authority? You have the Word of God as authority, and you have a church. If the Word of God is not the authority, you just have a church, a body of believers. You see, James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." And I'm finishing up quickly. Now, actually, would God tell us that His word is the final authority and leave us without His word? Would He tell us, "My word is the final authority," and then suddenly not give us His word? Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life," in John 6:63. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. I must have a copy of God's word, or the final authority is the church, or human experience, or human reasoning. Not the Bible. If I have the final authority, it's the Bible. The only way I can have the final authority from God is to have the Word of God. If the Word in the Bible is not true, then we don't know where there is truth.
Wait a minute, preacher, but I believe the Bible is God's word, but I don't believe every word in the Bible is true. Then let me ask you, if every word in the Bible is not true, could I ask you the question? Which one of us is able to tell which is and which is not? You say, well, I know somebody. I don't. If this is not true, every word's not true, I'm not capable of telling you which one is God's word and which is not. Well, I know Professor so-and-so, he can tell us because he studied Greek and Hebrew. Hogwash. That only means he studied Greek and Hebrew. I'm saying, would God tell preach his word and not give us his word to preach? I don't think so. God not only can write his word, he can preserve the copies of his word. And he does. We try to destroy it as human beings, but he does do just that. I say to you, would God tell us his word is the final authority and not leave it with us? If one word in the Bible is not true, we don't know which word it is. And when we get to that place, only the mind of man or the experience of man or the church is going to have to decide which one is true and not true. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't even have the capacity to do that. I have to believe it all or I can't believe any of it. You say, well, boy, I'm glad I'm not that way. You know, that's the reason so many people are believing wrong today, too. Because if you believe something is not God's word, then how are you going to handle it if that shows you something about what is God's word? And a lot of times, something that they say is not God's word is very important to show what is God's word because they fall in line with each other. And I don't have the ability to do that. You say, well, if you don't, some people do. Well, I'll just stick where I'm at. Don't waste my time for that. When God, through his word, calls a man to preach his word, would God call a man to preach his word and not give it to him? In 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. Would God tell a man to do that and not give him his word to preach? What a backward God would be. He said, preach the word. Well, Lord, I don't know what the word is. I don't know what is the word. Where is the word? The church. Well, I find a lot of things in the church that don't agree with you. It's experience. Well, there are a lot of experiences go over experience. There's so much thinking in human minds that God has completely done away. I mean, a human mind would take prayer out of the school, take God out of the school, take the Bible out of the school. That's what human minds will do. If I don't have the Word of God, if I can't believe that, I'm wasting my time up here to you this morning. When God, through his word, calls a man to preach, he gives his word. Would not God give man the words to preach? I believe I'm an honest man. I really believe that. I try. If I did not believe that I have God's word in my hands right here, I would not waste my time nor your time this morning. Thank you for coming. But I wouldn't waste your time if I didn't believe this is the word of God. I know I'm getting a lot of criticism out of this, but praise God, he'd be on the radio and everything else. That's all right. I'm going to go out with a bang anyhow. Amen. Can't criticize anymore than where I've always been. If we don't have God's word, we have no place to go but to the church that says it's authority, human experience, or human wisdom, which has to do with the mind. And I'm not going to stand here and as an imposter preacher preaching a book that is not the word of God. That would be wasting your time and my time. And I challenge anyone that wants to challenge. You check the history of America from the 60s back and see how well that we have done without all the extra writings of so-called God's word. If we have no final authority, man has got to discern what God says. And when that happens, when God says build the church on his word, we must have his word. We must do that. If not, the only thing left is the church or human experience or human reason. If doctrine is based upon the church or human reason or human experience, ladies and gentlemen, you are approaching idolatry because it bypasses the Word of God. All three of these are the same results in the end. If God has not told us what to do, then man has or will tell us through what he says the church's authority or human experience's authority or human reason is authority. If I do not believe that God is who he is, and the only place you'll find that, it won't be found in the historical records. It'll be found in the Word of God. The historical records would try to destroy who the true God is. But God's word tells us himself who it is. I do not believe that God would call people to preach or go to the mission field or to strike out on a Christian walk and without the word of God. God's word is our final word. It's final for faith. It's final for life. It's final for practice. Not the preacher. Not just the local assembly. Not me, not you, not Bishop so-and-so, priest so-and-so, not a Cardinal, not a Cub, not Whites or Sox or Yankees, none at all. Nowhere else can you find as a final word other than this book. I say to you what I think is a final word, but you go to the book and find out whether it is or not. Because God will reveal the final word through his book. So in conclusion, I do not believe that God will leave us down here without a copy of his word. Find the Bible that preachers used of old, one that's been tested by time after time after time. Someone said, well, preacher, I don't understand those these and those thous and those things. Well, I didn't either. And I found out one day, these means you, thous means you, I means me, we means us. I finally found out what they meant. You know why we make it so complicated? Sometimes I think we want it complicated so we won't read it. We just want to stay away from it. This means that God has given us his spirit to help us understand it. Read it, memorize it, study it, love it, teach it, preach it, live it. This is the almighty word of God. I promise you, you can depend upon it. For God himself is the author of it. John 3:7, Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Where's your authority on eternal life found in what Jesus said in the word of God? Where's the authority when you talk about heaven found in the word of God that Jesus told us he came from there? And by the way, that was an actual event, not something that just came up in one's mind. Jesus came from there. Jesus didn't just dream about coming to the earth and doing all this. He did it. Read the scriptures again and again and again. What is our authority in life? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. The writer of Proverbs and Solomon said in 119 again, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In verse 85, he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Peter said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Do you think that God would tell us that, not give us part of it? You say, is this all his word? Absolutely not. But it's all we need. God talks at the end when he gets through to Revelation 22, about 18 and 19. He warns about taking from it or adding to it. You know, even I have a lot of dreams. I had two wonderful dreams last night. I was preaching somewhere or another. Don't know where it was at, but I had a good time. And I thank God for dreams. But you know, it'd be sad if I had to depend on just dreams. Because I dream something one night, just the next night, it'd be right opposite that. You dream just right. You may be dreaming to witness someone one night, next night they come back witnessing you. And all of a sudden you were saved, now you're lost. And you never know what you're going to dream. Amen? Amen. I look at you, somebody had a weird dream last night. It's all over your face. I'm saying to you, where does our authority lie? If you're not saved this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we have no agenda. But let me tell you this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. God says that Jesus spoke, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For he so loved us, as Jesus said in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in us shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, the only authority we have, if you're not saved, would you let us take the Bible and show you? That's all we ask. Just show you. And then if God can't do it, we can't. The only thing we have is the authority using the Word of God to influence. We can tell you, but you've got to have to do it. Now, I'm glad I learned that a long time ago. If you're here this morning not saved, don't turn twice down. If you're here this morning, God's touching your heart about something, get it settled. Be sure it's the Word of God. Be sure it's not some fantasy of some kind. By the way, Satan has a trunk full of fantasies. And he'll use anything he can, but God will only use His Word. Would you pray for me that God to help me be influenced by His Word, that I have enough of His Word when I preach, that people will hear His Word, because that's the only thing going to bring about. I have no power to make you believe anything. But I can, by the help of God, teach and preach this book. And the Holy Spirit has promised. God said in Isaiah, my word will not return unto me. It will accomplish where I've sent it. If He sent it to your heart, it will do what He said it do. Would you stand to your feet? Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. Lord, I'm not saying anything today to be harsh with any organization. I'm trying my best, dear Lord, to not be arrogant. I'm trying to lay out what I believe that we have, my hand right now, the Word of God. I admit I don't know as much about it as I'd love to know, as I want to know. But dear God, I thank You enough to know enough about it that I know who my Savior is. I know who my Heavenly Father is. I know who the Holy Spirit is that came in my heart, though many times I had to study to find Him there. So much I don't understand about the Holy Spirit that I want to know. But I know enough about that. God said He'd be there, and He is. Jesus promised Him. And I know this, in studying the Word of God, He gives me a hunger for this book. Help somebody today. Oh, God, if nobody in this service, somebody by the way, radio, I pray You touch somebody today to get their mind focused on what this book is, how precious it is. And this week they spend some time in it rather than the world and everything they hear with their ears that's been said is of God. Dear God, if this book is not the final authority, then it's got to be the church, or it's got to be human experience, or it's got to be human reasoning. They're the four errors in Christianity that we approach who You are and what You're doing. I'm glad that I learned a long time ago the Bible is the only way. It's God's holy word. And I may not know a whole lot about it, but thank God the Holy Spirit helps us know enough to know who You are and what You're doing and what You want us to do as human beings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.